Pastor Will will be back with us next week. We know he's enjoying his time away. He and Julie, we've missed him. And I am so grateful this morning for the worship ministry. You all have been holding it down. Hallelujah. Thank you. Our worship director, Martial Bissoms, is recovering well from his surgery, and he will be back with us soon. We just thank God. I thank God for all of you and the way that you make worship what it is, from our ushers to Tom in the sound booth. We need sound, Tom. Thank you for sound. For all of you who make this church what it is. And this morning, our scripture comes from Revelation chapter 22. It's the last book of the Bible. And we're looking at verses 1 through 5, Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. When you find it, say amen. 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 You need more time? Say yes, please. More time. Take it. We're doing good. Amen. All right. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore. But the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you this day. We thank you, Lord, that you are God who orders our steps and you're God who brought us to this place. We're so grateful that you're God who knows us and you know our every need. And we're so grateful that your word, Lord, is bread and your word is water. Your word is light and it is life. And your provision is always found at the point of need. And so we say, Lord, this morning, speak. Speak, Lord, for your people are listening. Speak, Lord, your people are listening. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock, you're our strength, you are our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen, amen. An old lady was on a flight, and she was seated next to this young businessman. And after the in-flight meal, she took out her Bible, and she began to read it and to do her devotion. And he looked at her, and he said, "Do you really believe the stuff that's in there? Do you really believe it's true?" And she says, "As a matter of fact, I do." And so he says, "Well, what about that guy, you know, the guy that was eaten by the whale?" And she says, "Jonah." He says, yeah, you don't actually believe that he lived for 3 days in the bowels of a fish, do you? And so she looked at him and she says, "Well, I'll ask him someday when I get to heaven." So then he says, "Well, how do you know he's going to get to heaven? He might just end up in hell." So she looked at him and she says, "Well, young man, I'll let you ask him." I had to have a joke. Pastor Will's not here. I'm trying to hold it down, y'all. When we think of heaven, we often picture it as remote and distant. Heaven is this place way out there someday. The reward of the end of life on this earth. We sing as heaven as up ahead. You know, we sing like soon and very soon. I'm going to see the king. And when I get to heaven, I'll put on my robe. And some of us find life on this side disappointing and unsatisfactory. So much so that we check out and we live life closed in, half awake, resigned to find joy and love and peace when we get to heaven. Have you ever heard the saying that some folk are so what? So heavenly bound, they are no earthly good. You know, I think that's like a warning to us. It's a warning about focusing so much on heaven that you miss out on living life down here. John in Revelation is given a vision of heaven that is a promise and hope in this life that we live by faith. The vision of heaven is the promise that there is more to come, total completion and total fulfillment. Saint Teresa of Avila says it this way: the pay begins in this life. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we Christian people, we live between Alpha and Omega. We live bookend by God's mercy and God's grace. By faith, we proclaim in Christ God's kingdom and God's rule, God's sovereignty over this earth and over all of creation. But the problem is that too often we interpret heaven in terms of earth instead of making sense of earth in terms of heaven. See, heaven is not simply a dream to retreat to when life gets messy and when things are inhospitable. See, heaven is not just a fantasy. Beyond and through what we see, there is that which we cannot see, not out there, but right here before and among us. See, our God is present. Our God is with us. Our God is greater than anything we encounter down here. See, God's love and God's judgment, God's saving grace, God's mercy, God's wisdom and healing is available down here right now, today, January 31, 2016. See, this vision of heaven sums up really the entire gospel story. It sums up God's perfect will made known to us in Christ Jesus, that God is ultimately about recovery. I call it a Genesis redo. It's like a Genesis do-over. Jesus, in his inaugural address in Luke, says that he came to pardon prisoners. He came to give recovery of sight to the blind. He came to set the burdened and the battered free. Amen. See, God is about repairing what is broken. And John's vision reveals to us God's will that we be made whole. See, the truth is that we each live on a spectrum, and we are each, every one of us, we're on different places on this journey. Every one of us, though, in this church and beyond this church, if we tell the truth, we are broken. We are in need of wholeness. And the minute you think you're not broken, life will show you. Somebody will say a chance word, or somebody will look at you sideways, and the next thing you know, there's some scar deep down on the inside, and suddenly that thing is broken open and stuff is starting to ooze out. You know, and so here we are. Some of us, we wear our brokenness, and it's all over, and everybody can see it. It's like our brokenness is like broken pieces making a rattling noise. You can hear them coming. It's like, oh, here they come. Here they come. Broken again. Here they come, rattling. But then there's some of us who've learned to store our brokenness, and we keep it in this really, really safe container. Because, you know, we are not supposed to show it. We live in a world where you never let them see you sweat. Don't flinch. You know, don't wince. You know, don't, whatever you do, it might be hurting, but don't limp. Whatever you do, don't limp. See, in the gospel, there are these 10 lepers who had this divine encounter with Jesus. And Jesus spoke this word to them and told them, he basically told them to go to church. And as they were on their way, before they could even make it to church, the scripture says that one saw that he was cleansed and turned back to thank Jesus. See, Jesus had already healed them, but when he turned back to give thanks, Jesus said that the man's faith had made him well. See, in Jesus, our healing goes beyond the skin. Our healing, the healing that Jesus gives us, reaches to our very soul. The truth is that we are so conditioned to focus on the cure, the miracle cure, that we miss that even as these old bodies decay, God is still in the healing business. See, there are times when God wills that there is no cure, but healing can still take place. I read something many, many years ago, and it stayed with me, and it talked about a cure as the lame person who gets up from his bed and walks. That's the cure. But a healing is that same person, lame, still immobile, and coming to terms with his lack of mobility, and he transcends his anger, and he transcends his grief, and he becomes an inspiration to everyone around him. That's the difference between cure and being healed. To be healed is to be made whole. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm on a journey toward wholeness. And I believe in 2016, God wants each and every one of us to move one step closer to our healing. Revelation 22:1, it kind of breaks down the conditions for living healed and living whole. He says light and water and fruit. Light, water, and fruit are those things that nourish and sustain us. The scripture says that the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of a great city, street of the city. And on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. See, this is what I know. I was talking to some students at Hope Academy on Thursday, and I was talking to them about what I've come to understand about God's will for us is that we not just simply stop at survival, but that we really live and thrive, but we need to know the conditions under which we thrive. You know, I told them about the philodendron. It's like that little plant everybody has. You know, it's that little ivy thing that you can't kill. You can put it in water. It still lives. It's kind of heart-shaped, right? And so the philodendron, you know, I have one at home, and I've always had a philodendron because you can't kill them. but the first time I went to Hawaii, I saw a philodendron in its natural optimum conditions. A philodendron in Hawaii, the leaves are like elephant ears. And the vine is like a tree trunk. I was blown away. And so it really taught me the difference between knowing that we have a tremendous capacity to survive. And so often we stop right there. But God's will for us is that we do more than survive, that we thrive. And in order to thrive, we need the light of Christ to shine in us and to shine through us. See, there's this word. I know all of the students in here know photosynthesis. Say that with me. Photosynthesis. I just like the way it sounds on my tongue. Photosynthesis, what? It's that process that's used by plants and organisms, and it converts light. Energy from the sun, right? And it converts it into chemical energy that can be used to fuel the organism's activities. See, the light of Jesus Christ energizes us. It fuels us. It warms us. It illuminates the way that we should go. It builds us up. It helps us grow. The light of Christ, when it breaks into my dark places, the light makes me get up and go places I ordinarily would not go. Oh, see, the truth of the matter is that it is critical that we walk and we live in the light. Our very thriving depends on it. See, we need light and we need food and we need water. These are basic things, water and food. But y'all, we need real food and real water. You know, we put all of that extra stuff in it, but we just need crystal clear water. And too often we take in stuff that just makes us sick. See, we have this tendency to get things so twisted, things that we think will improve our lives. And actually, they don't improve our lives. They diminish our lives. In this earlier vision of Revelation, there is this picture of a famine. And there's this rider on a black horse. And this rider mocks the advertisements of unaffordable prices for daily bread. But all of the luxury items, the items like oil and wine, they're in abundance. See, there are so many things in this world that look attractive on the outside. And these things, they seduce us and they suck us in. See, and once we find ourselves drawn in, we find ourselves entrapped. We find ourselves addicted. We find ourselves bound up. We then find that our body and our mind and our spirit, it's just simply starved. And our true needs get masked. And we excessively then just keep eating on that thing that we don't need, trying to fill that hole deep within our soul. We eat this processed food, and it's all filled with these preservatives and things you can't pronounce, and you definitely can't find in nature. You know, things that leave us hungry and things that leave us still craving vitamins and minerals and enzymes. And the question this morning is, what are you chewing on? What are you eating? What are you drinking today? And what is it doing for you? See, I like TV binging every once in a while. I like a little bit of mindless fluff, too. You know, those little books that you just read them, they're just mindless fluff. That's all I can call it. But the truth is that if you feed on that stuff long enough, our lives become anemic and listless and dull with malnutrition. And we become weak and we become parched and we become shriveled up from dehydration. The truth is that technology and oil and wine and the latest styles and the collection of stuff, it does not nourish us. It just band-aids and covers over. God's spirit is what feeds our spirit. And God's spirit is what bears fruit. And fruit is what we need to live on. We need the fruit of love. We need the fruit of joy. We need the fruit of peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. I don't know about you, but I need a whole lot of fruit this morning. And what I know is that what God gives me, the fruit of the very Spirit of God, is it's what leads to our recovery, no matter the circumstances and no matter the conditions of life, no matter what I am lacking, God's fruit can feed me. And I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. We are always, always, always in need of more water. It don't matter that you attended Bible study 25 years ago. You need a word today too. Oh, we always are in need of more water and more bread. We are always in need of the living bread. God's word, it will feed you, it will sustain you, it will renew you over a lifetime, and you will not grow hungry. Jesus is the living water. Water that quenches our thirst and quenches our longings. And when we are parched, and we do find ourselves parched, when we are parched, we can call on him. I'm a living witness that he is quick to respond. Jesus is ground and Jesus is fuel. Jesus is strength who helps us to stay on the way. And what is the way? It's the way. The purpose of the way is it's a Genesis do-over that we get to live into who God truly created each of us to be. I want to be who God made me to be. I don't want to be who Madison Avenue says I could be. I want to be who God says I am. See, we need light. And we need food and we need water. We need these basics that ripens into fruit in our lives. And when we have fruit, it means that we have something to give. Fruit that makes a difference in the world. You see, this vision of John's, this word, it's not the last word. It's not the end. This word is a vision of a new beginning. See, heaven reasserts the picture of new life in Christ. See, this word of recovery, God's recovery, it's not only for your life and not just for my life, but it is God's recovery for the world. This vision brings together God's promise and God's intention for all people of the world. See, in John's vision, the New Jerusalem has 12 gates into the city of God. And these gates, they stand open day and night. See, I never grew up reading Revelation because I was afraid to read Revelation. So I just grew up listening to what they told me about Revelation. And what they told me was that St. Peter would be there at the gate, and then my name wasn't written in the book of life, I was going to be shut out, you know. And so it was this whole picture of, you know, oh, Lord, make sure your name is there and make sure you're in the line. But even if you're there, have you been good enough? Because Peter might just say, reject. But see, the truth of the matter is, in John's vision, the gates are never shut. The pearly gates are not designed to keep nations away from God. Ha! But these gates, it's about providing a way for all people to approach God. See, God's perfect will is that of a recovery of Eden, where our broken and divided and fractured and fragmented world, it lives healed together. God's will is that healing is not just for some of us, me and mine and my folk, and no more. But this healing is for everyone. And in the end, Revelation holds out hope that nothing or no one would be accursed any longer, and that all people will be fed and healed, and they will taste the tree of life. All God's will, perfect will, as the nations would gather around the throne, worshiping God in the glory of God's everlasting life. And so this morning, Park Avenue and all our guests today, we are people who live between Genesis and Revelation. We live between heaven now and heaven not yet. And the truth is that we still have a whole lot of work to do. Eugene Peterson, in his book Reverse Thunder, writes that heaven is functional. He says, by means of John's vision, we come to know that heaven is not what we passively wait for. But this vision of heaven helps us clarify the conditions necessary for our growth as new people in Christ. What if you were to read it that way? What if you were to read it to the degree that we read it and we get to see what life's supposed to look like, and we see it and we work toward that? And so to the degree that we've been healed to our base capability, we help somebody else get healed. What if we were to read it and we say, to the degree that we know the love of Christ and we see the picture that we must, out of the love that we've received, that we show others the love of Christ, knowing that our healing is intertwined, we are all in this together. Charles Spurgeon writes that Jesus is the tree whose leaves heal the nation. He says there is but one cure for nations. There is one sacred fountain, one fountain open on Calvary to wash and cleanse. There is one great physician whose touch can make us whole. There is one balm of Gilead, and this one, his leaves do not wither and his water does not run dry. He is bread for the hungry, and he is light in darkness, and his blood still has the power to heal our sin-sick soul. This is why, for me, I want to tell you that no matter how broken you are and how many pieces you've lost along the way, Jesus is still in the business of providing healing and wholeness, the very healing and wholeness our soul longs for. And no matter how low you find yourself today, no matter how low you find yourself, whether in your mind or in your body or in your spirit, God's rule and God's presence is here in this place. God's glory has come down. I'm so grateful today that heaven comes down. Hallelujah. That I don't have to try so hard to reach up, but heaven comes down today. Heaven has descended, and by the broken nail scar, bruised hands of Jesus, by his very stripes today, we can be healed. James Baldwin says this. He says, your crown has already been bought and paid for. All you have to do is wear it. Amen. 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 Amen.